Okay, we're ready. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Now, one thing I did think about is coming over here is this would be a good time before we run into the last chapter is to kind of refresh our memory. The Hebrew writer is preparing these Hebrews to go forward, to be prepared to go through the tribulation, to endure through the suffering, through the persecution, waiting for the kingdom to be established. And all this, it has to be embraced by faith for them to keep going. It has to. And I thought about it as always, is when you think about how does this fit into the big picture? Remember what the R was for, right?
Restoration.
Yeah, well, that too. We know God is reconciling all things to himself. And how does that fit into what God is doing? Is all these things, they line up with his purpose. And so when you look at the Hebrews, they have to go through what they're going through because that's part of their plan. And all these things are done that when God is equipping them to be useful.
Serve.
Worship. And serve. Or to be transformed to... Yeah, I like that. Full-grown sons. Yes, sir. There you go. See, all these things build up. You know, it's interesting you said that. I'm going to digress for a minute. Where we were in Tupelo, and Brother Smith, he says, I want you to do another lesson. He's like, no, you know, it's... spur of the moment, he said, but I want you to bring the message something about marriage, which is in the Corinthians, you know, it said the woman, it's like Christ is the image of God, man is the image of Christ.
Woman.
The woman is what?
The image of man.
The image of, yeah. So when you said, what'd you say?
Carbon copy.
And that's what a helpmate is. You know what it is? It's a mirror image of the man. He looked at it. What's that?
I had to think about that.
Yeah. You know what? Because the you think about it is what you give out is usually what you're going to get back. Mm-hmm. Well, not the man. Mm-hmm. And she in turn is to reciprocate. And this is going to sound hard to you. She, in turn, her job, I was going to say worship and serve him, but y'all might draw up on that. So I would say to reverence and serve him. Or this might be even a little better for you. To respect and serve him. So you got to water it down. You got to water it down for the kiddies, Luke.
No, serve is probably harder for them to bite off.
Yeah, but you know what? I say kiddies, but you all are, you know, obviously. When it gets to that kind of thing, you know, they're a little touchy. When you say worship and serve, like, wait a minute. It takes a lot of maturity to be able to embrace that. Right?
Especially between the woman and the man.
Yes. Now, but, and not to go back to this lesson, but when he establishes marriage, all it is the object lesson for you.
That's why Ephesians 5, a lot of people want to say that that's a picture of how we're the bride of Christ, but it's really how a marriage is supposed to reflect the relationship of Christ.
Right, right.
Not the other way around.
It's the oneness. It's the unity that you have, and the when you see it, that's it all comes down to that, right?
Yeah.
And what, anyway, about to teach that lesson again. So, the what Jenny said, carbon copy, right? That's what it is. It's a mirror image. Is that's what he wants to do, is to reflect himself through you. That's what an image is. It's an aid to worship. And all the purpose is for them to come out on the end and be able to worship and serve him and reflect his glory and his goodness. And they will be, as Isaiah said, they will be a light to the nations. But he has to go through all those things. We found out last week he goes through all those things through the cross where it behooved him to suffer. He goes through those things to redeem them. They have to be equipped spiritually to even get to this point. So he has to die. He has to die. And just recapping this. He has to die because he takes care of, we talked about this, all the enemies that were against them. Sin, law, the devil, and the last one, death.
I have a question.
Yes.
I had an incident with my brother this week, but you know, he's so adamant about the law, you know, what he embraces in his belief system. And so the law is our enemy because we can't possibly, we can never live up to it. Is that correct? That's the reason it's the enemy. Because we'll always fail,
right? It didn't magnify his image. It magnified your sinfulness, your lack of it. Because it, if anything, if it did anything, it showed that you cannot worship and serve him. It was what the law could not do. That his own son, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemn sin in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has to give it to you. He equips you to be who he wants you to be. If it wasn't for the Spirit in you, it'd be no, it, in us, it'd be, we have no chance. That's why he says, I'm taking out the old one and I'm giving you what? That's what the Hebrews is about. Is he's finally taking away the old that he can establish the new. And all that fits into his purpose. That makes sense? 12:12, he says, wherefore, he goes through the chastening part. He says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And he's using that example, but he's talking about people. And I love these principles. It's all the same. Is we should always be looking for the good. We should always be looking for those things wherewith one may edify another. Quickly there. Romans, hold your hand there. Romans 15.
Having the other's best interest.
Yes. What verse is that?
Charity.
Yes. That's that too.
It's all throughout First Corinthians.
I could think of Romans 15, but yours, yeah, that was 15, verse 1. Start at verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ please not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What's the matter, Luke? Okay. He looks so serious. But you notice where he gives an example of Christ before he makes an appeal for us in this passage, is to look at what he did, and it was all for your behalf. In the Hebrew writer, he's saying the same thing. He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. They're going to have a tendency to stray away, to deviate from what God wants. The pressure, we have no pressure. Well, let me rephrase that. We have very little pressure today. Is most of us, I would say, we have very little pressure. The religious system, we're pretty much released from that, free from that. Would you say that?
Yeah.
I don't think any of us have that. You know, I really miss that. I don't know about them. That's going to be pretty enticing. We're in Hebrews chapter 12. Yes, sir. Verse 12, yes. Thank you. Verse 13 now. Verse 14 now. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Again, this is, he's already securing that for them. I will say secured. Mm-hmm. Now, what's hard, I'm going to say what's hard, is to not mix this up, is what they will get, mm-hmm. You have.
Mm-hmm.
You have it. We have received it. Their process, it doesn't end the moment they believe. Yours does, positionally. They still have to. You remember those steps we were kind of showing? We would say there's things that they're going through those things in a chronological way, which we all do for a little while. Yeah, which goes back to that's just how he lays out his plan. Yeah, and I was. I think I mentioned this. I was telling them Tuesday, is you can't just jump in Psalm, in the book of Psalm, and have no idea what's going on. Oh, you can, but it'll create some problems for you, because you have to think about this. Like we were talking to Luke and I on the way in, and I'm not going to give all your stuff away. It's, excuse me. Sorry about that. Where was I? I was talking to Luke on the way in, is about the Word of God. And you think about when God reveals the message to Paul, he told us that it was hid in God. How long ago?
Before the foundation.
Okay. This is the earth right here. He said the message that he gave Paul was what?
Before the foundation.
Yeah.
It was He and God before He did what? Before He made the world. Do you think you have to have a little planning in to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just now, and matter of fact, Paul, he said it's the wisdom. He said it's the hidden wisdom of God. Before He even said, "Let there be light." Thank you. I don't feel so bad now. But he planned this, and we just found it was in 11. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Is the things that the history is laid out, and you understand that things change because that's God wanted them to change. Mm-hmm. He wants. They're going to have to go through the little while because God said, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to take for me to accomplish my purpose with you.
But it wasn't just arbitrary. It went all the way back to what He established when He brought them out of Egypt and what they agreed to. And He told them in Leviticus what all was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Everything adds up. And that's why I was telling them, you just can't go in Psalm and pick a verse out, like our favorite verse, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and not know how that fits, how it fits the people to whom He wrote it to.
The author's intention.
You have to know that. It would be nice. Your understanding would be enhanced if you knew that. Mm-hmm. Now, we just read it that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what?
Learning.
Our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. But you don't want to go back there and try to apply all those things to you. Because God said, I don't want you to apply it to you primarily. It's for them. Mm-hmm. Now that's...
But you can learn.
For them, legit.
You can learn. You can say, you know what?
God is faithful to His word.
God is faithful to His word. He's faithful to His people. And you can say, look how wise God is, and look at the lengths that He has gone through just to equip those people. And it'll make you appreciate, it should make you appreciate what you have.
Mm-hmm.
That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now, what did I say? Romans? Oh, we read that. Romans? Okay. Okay, back to Hebrews. Fifteen. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Man. Now, sorry about that. You know what? When you read these things, he said this. Notice this. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Let me ask you this. How could they fail of the grace of God? For the Hebrews, how could they fail of the grace of God? Jenny said, you know, she said, by not enduring. Yes. Enduring through the tribulation, right? And the testing. The testing is is the pressure and the influence that they'll have to go back to what? Instead of going on to what?
Christ. Which is why Antichrist will focus on that system from before.
That's because now really there is only one. He's already, the old is gone. Mm-hmm. You can't back it in.
Right.
They could go back to it, but it's, as Paul said, it's what? Weak?
Beggarly.
And what?
Just religion.
Weak and beggarly. In what sense? What does he mean, weak and beggarly?
Flesh.
People are weak and beggarly. Can't follow the Old Testament.
And it can't give life.
And it's beggarly.
Say it again.
It can't give life.
It can't. You know what? That's kind of a trick. It can.
If
you can do it.
Yeah.
Right. But.
It's beggarly because you're asking. For, we've already have offspring.
Here's. This is why it's weak and beggarly. The law. Plus you.
Zero.
Equals, that's a skeleton.
Death.
Equals death. That's why it's weak and beggarly. Because that's good and just and holy and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't. You ain't good. You ain't just.
Your
yes. Now he said, "Verily, if there had been a law that could have given life, verily righteousness would have come by the law."
Yep.
And he said in Romans, he says, "But the law is good, it's holy, and it's just, and the man that doeth them
shall live
in them." That there's only one man that could do that.
Okay.
That's why we put that up there. He comes to do what?
Fulfill
the law. He takes it out of your way. That was, he said, that which was contrary to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, in another way, you are contrary to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's weak and beggarly is because it doesn't produce life. It doesn't. It cannot... It cannot transform you
to
the image of his son. It can't. It won't do it because there's one big obstacle, and his name is Blake.
Always.
Or you know what? Insert.
Yeah.
Insert name here. It could be Jenny. It could be Robert. You get the picture, right?
You mean we can actually present the form of lawful people for a while, but we aren't really lawful?
Yep.
Do you know how long it lasts?
Because if you fall in any one point.
What's that?
If you fall in any one point.
That's right. It's now this is not like this. It's not like you start over every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. Grace. You know, grace is you could start over with grace.
Mm-hmm.
But the law is like, wait a minute. No, the law is like this. Once you miss that one,
it's over.
Test is over.
Yeah.
You don't get one more try. No.
No free strike program.
No, it's over. You got
even
one shot.
Or even able to keep all of it. It doesn't matter because you were born of Adam, and so you have a sin nature, so you can't help anybody.
What do we say? The enemies, sin, what? Law,
death. Devil,
and death. They all work against. They are. He has, look, he came, he died for what? He died for sin. Romans 7 says he came and took the what? Law out of the way, right? He says, we just read in Hebrews, he destroyed the devil. And the last enemy, he said, that shall be destroyed. When he dies, you know what the scriptures called him? I don't have to write all that down. He called him the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ. And when he resurrects, he's got the power of, I was going to write it down, he's got the power.
Death and hell.
And the grave. When Colossians said this, when he rose, he was the firstborn from the dead. And he has immortality. He has it. It's him. He is the life. When he resurrects, he is the firstborn from the dead. He has immortality. He secured it so he can, and we talked about this. He's able to give immortality to what? Or to whom?
Believers.
To those who believe. When he's resurrected out of the grave, watch this. Colossians. Look at Colossians. Hold your hand in Hebrews. I like my old Bible. Let's see. Chapter one, verse 19, 18. He says 17. Okay, 15. That's it. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He's talking about Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and what?
Lord.
This goes back to the beginning. Look, listen, he said they were created what? By him and what?
For
him. What is that?
It's every creation.
That's Genesis 1:1.
No.
Right, it's creation. But he said, look, when I created it, it was by me and what?
For me.
So it reminds me of this. I don't know why I thought of this. A long time ago, my cousin was in the Air Force. And he bought a new picnic set. This is back in Detroit. And he came home one day and it was gone. And so they suspected who it was. But he bought that table for his family. It was purchased by him and what?
For him.
If he knows who has it, what does he have to do? That's very simple, Blake. Yes, he has to go get it.
He has to redeem it.
Yeah, he has to repossess it.
Looking for the R word.
I like what Karen. She said, and
repo man.
Either he goes and what buys it back.
Yeah,
he
takes it.
Or he. And he's got to bring it back to the rightful people, right? He's going to reconcile it with his family.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to go through those things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just using. Hey, you're getting the picture. He has to be. He has to be stronger.
Than a strong man. Than a possessor.
Or smarter. Than the thief. Yes. I was going to say that. So, I'm using this as a just an anthropomorphism. Speaking as a man, so you can understand the analogy. So, when the Lord says, I created the heaven and earth, it was created by me and for me. All the positions. He said, visible on the earth, right? And invisible in heaven. He says, it was created by me and for me. Well, we know that eventually, well, we know that the usurper became what? The prince. Papa. He became Papa. The prince of the power of the air. And he's what? He took the picnic table. And God says, I knew he was going to do that. If you know a thief, eventually he's going to steal from you. Well, God knows when he put Lucifer where he was, he knew what he was going to do. He didn't make him do it, but he knew. He says, I've put you in this spot. And he becomes the prince of the power of the air. That's Ephesians 5. Ephesians 6. Ephesians. We might get there. And the God of this world, 2 Corinthians. Now, back to Colossians. Let's wrap this up here. He says, for all things were created by him and for him, and created that are in heaven or in earth, things visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The firstborn from the dead.
The only one that's been resurrected.
So far.
Close. He was, there's other, was Lazarus resurrected from the dead?
He died again.
Say it again.
He died again.
Okay, well, what does he mean? He's a firstborn from the dead.
Immortal.
That in all things he might have the preeminence. The highest position, the top priority. So when he resurrects and says, I have all power, he says, I have the preeminence over all, everything, over sin, over the law, over the devil, over death, over all the positions, over what? Everything. And he says this, and I earned it. So when he goes back to get his table, he says, and this is what my cousin did. He went to the guy's house, he opened his gate, he went in the backyard, he picked the table up, he took it out to his truck, he put it in the truck, he went back, he got the chairs, they were looking at him. Put the chairs in the car, and What do you think they said?
Probably the
right thing.
He's
like, what?
What? They couldn't stop him. Number one, right, it belonged to him. I believe he was, yeah, I got a pretty big cousin, but he was stronger than him. And he was the rightful owner. Now, he said this. He says, verse 18, and he is the head, I said that, verse 19, he in all things he might have the preeminence. For, he's going to further explain something to you. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That is, what fullness?
Godhead.
Fullness what?
Godhead.
That goes right to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Glad you said that. Chapter 2. He says, and the reason he makes that appeal to the Colossians is he goes down through there. He says, I'm saying this that no man spoil you or beguile you, or that no man will steal your riches away. He said your treasure that's found only in what? In Christ. He said, just so you believe me, just so you believe the book, he said, look at chapter 2, in verse 3, in whom are hid all the what?
Treasure.
Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, and as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How can a man spoil you? Look at the verse. Don't guess. Look at the verse. Any man spoil you through philosophy and
deceit.
Now you can elaborate. You say what? Through what?
Doctrine.
Bad doctrine. That's what he got to give you bad doctrine, because it's going to be his philosophy or his tradition,
mm-hmm.
and not after Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, watch out. Beware. Because the minute he said this, if you show him the verses and he says, yeah, but,
mm-hmm.
you know what? He got his hand in your pocket already. He reaching for your riches. And you have to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to exchange it for what? Philosophy and vain deceit and rudiments of the world and not, right, and not after Christ. He said, he's trying.
Richard was teaching it this morning, and I really liked it. He was in 2 Corinthians 11, and he mentioned where Paul talks about how I've espoused you, you know, to one, and about being beguiled from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Simplicity is salvation by grace. And that's essentially what you were talking about, taking you into all these other things away from the simplicity. I mean, grace is so simple, and all this other stuff seeks to compromise it or cloud it or
mm-hmm.
separate you from your riches.
You know what? It's really, it's so simple, it's profound.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I found out? Is by doing children's ministry in Detroit, is you have to be so familiar with the information to break it down to a kid, because his attention span is like 10 minutes. And you have to be able to explain it a way that they can get it. So you can use all the words, all the big words. You can say, you know, God, he was your propitiation. And he gonna say, what's that? And if you just heard somebody say that and you don't know what that means, you stuck. So you say, well, what does propitiation mean?
Satisfying sacrifice.
Yeah. And he gonna say, what is that?
Yes.
And you say, well, God was satisfied with what his son accomplished for you, right, for you, what he did. And you know what he gonna ask you?
What did he do?
So you're gonna have to go back and say, you know, there were some things that was counting against you. And he took those things out of the way. And when you talk about, like in 2 Corinthians, where he said that he was made sin,
that we might be made righteous.
So you think about it. Oh, you know, it all, like in Hebrews, where he says he came in the volume of the book. He came to do everything that God wanted. He said, I have to do it. And he does it. He's got to take care of all the enemies. He's got to remove all the obstacles. And at the same time, he's reconciling the world to himself. And at the same time, he's securing the power legally.
Mm-hmm. Not cutting any corners.
That's when he goes through. He got the checklist, and when he's done, he says, okay, it's finished. And he goes all the way to the cross. He suffers. And that's why, God, he says, because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he says, for the same reason, I have also highly exalted him and given him the preeminence. Okay, he says, verse 9, for in him, Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, what is fullness?
Complete.
You know, he just said in him dwelleth all the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. But he says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
All the power and all the everything.
Say it again, sir.
All the everything.
I love that. All the everything. everything that God is.
Bible.
Everything that God is.
Christ is.
Christ is. Everything the Holy Spirit is.
Christ is.
Everything that the Son is. God is. All right. Look, in the beginning was God. And the Word was
God.
No. With God. Who said that? Thank you, sir. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, you skipped a step. Thank you for being. See, you can't skip the steps. But he says that all the fullness of the Godhead is in that body. That's why Paul can say this, to know that God was where? in Christ,
reconciling the world to himself.
So when he's walking around on earth, that's Joseph's son. Right? Whose son is that?
I don't know.
Don't be scared. Whose son is it?
Sometimes we just don't know what you're asking for.
Yes,
you're right. You're right. It's you got God. It's God on earth walking around, right? He said, "I'm the Son of God." He said that. He told them that. That's who I am. And they knew. They said, "Look, you being a man, make you yourself equal with God." They knew exactly what he meant. We don't today. We still don't know that. Well, I don't say that.
They knew exactly what he meant, but they didn't believe him.
Now, so when he goes through all he has to do, who's doing the work?
God.
That's how you know it's done. He's not skipping steps. So if he says, I'm coming to give you life, and he says, I've died. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I tell you what, just stay in Colossians. Stay in Colossians, because we can just wrap this up right here. Colossians, he says this, and ye.
All y'all.
All y'all. Verse 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm going to put this up here. Okay. I'm going to draw this body up here. Okay. All right. Here we go. In him dwelleth all the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right? All right. There you go. Fullness. Or as Robert say, all of everything is in him. Right? All of everything. I like that. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. What?
In him.
Now you are in him.
You have the fullness.
Huh?
You have the fullness.
What does that mean?
That means what he has, we have. That's why we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ.
You mean I have to be in him to have that, to be complete? I can't do it over here on the side by just doing all sorts of good work.
And you are complete?
In him.
Okay. That's a preposition. In what? In him, complete. Out?
Not so much.
By him?
Complete.
By him?
No. Through him. In him. What are we doing? It's been a long day.
In him.
You're either in
we're
or
complete.
Out. There's no
in him, what?
We're complete.
Out of him?
We're out.
You're incomplete.
By him?
We're complete.
By him, for him? Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Yes.
In him, complete. Out of him, not complete. By him, not complete.
Okay. I didn't know if you were.
That's what I meant. Let's, you know what? By meaning.
Yes.
Meaning near him.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Like parking cars and giving
tithes. I thought you meant like buy him all things were made.
Okay.
Yeah, buy him
that kind of let me rephrase this. Because he said, by one spirit are we all, and we don't see this, are we all baptized into one body? Now,
yes.
That's spiritual, but I'm going to use this example. If I'm near the pool, am I in it?
No.
If I'm out of the pool, am I in it?
No.
If I'm in the pool,
you're wet.
I'm in it, right? Am I?
Even if you just got your big toe in it, you're still in it, right?
No, I think you have to be submerged.
Now, that's a trick answer.
An example breaks down after.
Yes, that's a trick answer. Stop that.
We get you.
Now, thank you.
Because what's saved, always saved, even if you back out of it. You're still in it.
Just because you're wet, though.
You can't back. Okay. E 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Look, when he died,
you died.
When he was crucified, your old man was crucified. When he paid for your sins were what?
Paid for.
How do you know that?
Because the word tells me so.
He tell you right there. Mm-hmm. When he was crucified, you died. With him. In him.
And when he resurrected,
There you go, right there. In the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. He said the old man was crucified with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enemy number one. In whom you're circumcised. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism.
Identification.
Wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, he says, you are buried with him by one spirit. We're all baptized. That's how you identify with him. Is this by faith? When you don't feel this, you don't see this. It's a spiritual baptism. The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, takes you and puts you in Christ. Spiritually, you can't get in him physically. It's a spiritual transaction. You're looking at the verse. It says through faith of the operation of what?
God.
The operation of God. His work is spiritual. He says you're buried with him in baptism, and who from a faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you most trespasses. The worst trespasses. How many? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What's that?
That's the law.
That's enemy number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took it out of the way, right?
Well, if he's raised us, then he can put death up there, too.
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there. 15. And that's not all. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who's that?
That's Satan.
There he is. Now you could go. You can go to chapter. You can go to verse 13, and see that he's, like Karen said, that he's destroyed what?
Yeah.
Death. But I like this. Chapter 3. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are
dead.
And your life is what? He is what? And when Christ,
who is
what? Shall appear, then shall we
appear.
That's when you know how you have eternal life? Number one, because he promised it, and he says, when I come, I'm going to give it to you. You'll experience the substance of what I've already promised you.
Creation and growth.
He says, I've already taken care of all the enemies. He said, but you got to wait on the immortality to experience it. He said, when I come, I'll have it with me. Well, and that's what he says. Now the dead in Christ
rise first.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they, and then you that remain,
then will we ever be with the Lord?
I thought y'all was going to finish the verse for me. 1 Corinthians. That's not Hebrews. But 15:54. But it's close to Hebrews, though. It's, this is how he makes us the same way. He makes us equipped. He equips us the same way. We just get it up front. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is what? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You see how you got those enemies lined up right there? Who has the power of death?
The devil.
He tells you, you got it made. He said, Ed, you got it made. You say, how I know that? He said, I already take care of all that. He's in Hebrews brought it. He says, I'm the author and the finisher. He said, Blake, I've been there. I've done that. And I got the immortality. And it's yours. And the same way with the Hebrews, it's the same Lord. Just different program. He telling them the same thing. He says, he's saying, hang in there. And watch what he tells you. Same 15. He says, but thanks be to God, which what? Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. What? He telling you pretty much hang, same thing. Hang in there. You got it made. He's telling the Hebrews, hang in there for a little while. You got it. You got it. No, where are we?
The difference is that they'll walk by sight, we'll walk by faith. They'll have the supernatural provision. As long as they endure,
yeah,
the Lord's going to provide. They'll see the things coming up. There's nothing that we see before the Lord comes for us. We have to walk by faith and trust in what's in this word.
Which is why we look like just regular old human beings,
right,
even though we're children of God.
Right.
They have some conditions on theirs. Yours?
Yeah, we're a medium.
Is unconditional. Right.
Well, they started out with a contract.
12. Okay. That'll work. What's that?
But what I was going to say when you're talking about children, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it's all one syllable word. By grace. It's a verse that little children can learn. These are all one syllable words.
And we have trouble with that as adults, though.
So,
let's pick up there. 12:12 next week. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent around it and in it. We pray that we read some things and heard some things tonight to just encourage us and strengthen us as we continue to study in the book of Hebrews. We pray for all those here tonight. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs. Work in our inner man that which you find worthy and well-pleasing in your sight. We pray for our country, for those who have the rule and authority over us. Lord, that they may continue to make the decisions that allow us to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We thank you again for all these things. We thank you for the body universal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Frank.